Yeah, back in the field with the track stars, Ryan Righteous, Sean Tanner, DJ Jeremiah. Was good.
You know what time it is. You know what to do. Make sure for all things track stars, you go to trackstars.com with the Z. Also, we told you guys that we're going to be at the Birthday Bash Chosen Journey concert finale. It's also been added that it's now the Black Christian Influencers Conference and Awards finale as well. So we're going to be at both of those events in that week. And you can get your tickets at www.centerstage-atlanta.com. So y'all support the homie Trendsetter Sense. He's a family member to the Track Stars, and we will be in the building. And also, public voting is coming up soon for the Stellars. So when you see that Holy Culture on there, drop a like and vote for us. Appreciate that.
Yeah, man. We've got Shania, Play James in the building as well. How y'all doing?
Good, doing as always. Good. No complaints.
Just so you guys know, go to thecreativeceo.com if you want to join a community of people who are doing kind of what we're doing here. Creating content, trying to impact the world. So if you want to be a part of a community, it's actually thecreativeceo.io. So go over there and hang out with us, literally us. We're sharing ideas.
Wednesdays.
Wednesdays we have a call that we all get on and try and figure things out. So come join us. How have y'all's weeks been? Because we got a good show coming up. Yeah, I want to make sure y'all ready.
Yeah, man, it's going good. Baby girl turns 7 tomorrow, so my youngest daughter having a birthday party today. Yeah, and
you got a party every month.
I do. Yeah. My daughter is June 1st. I'm June 23rd. My mom is June 24th, and my wife is June 26th.
Oh wow!
Spend a lot of money in June.
Boy. Oh yeah. Then I got a niece on July 1st. Yeah, so, it's crazy.
Jeez.
Yeah, man.
Jeez,
so
Louise, that's crazy. I want to say shout out to Iron Sharpens Iron. Iron Sharpens Iron thing on IG. You made me lose my thought.
My bad.
We got a new champion, Micah, 1-on-1. He beat the former champion Nat Lauren. No compromise. So go check that out. On the Kingdom Mox channel, we have Trig from Holy Culture. His interview is this that just dropped recently. So go watch the full interview with Trig from Holy Culture. He talks some great things about Islam, him being in Islam, from him not doing secular music no more because of a Christian hip-hop artist saying something to him. It was really good, man. So go check those out.
Yeah, man. I saw a clip of that, man. It was really dope. Y'all had a good conversation.
Yeah, man. It was really good.
And on Iron Sharpens Iron, man, Nat Loren went up against Connect. And I did an independent artist spotlight with both of them.
Oh, wow.
So I thought that was pretty cool. We talked about his run.
Yeah.
He had a good run.
Yeah, it was cool. A couple of weeks. It was cool, yeah.
Yeah. This week was cool, too. DJ Jeremiah and I, we went to Lee Vossi's listening party.
Yeah, it was dope.
And it was dope. Her album is really good. So I suggest you guys check it out. I think it dropped Friday.
Yep.
It was really good. Really good.
That's cool.
She's going to be on the cover for the copper section.
Oh, wow. So, yeah.
Ah, okay.
Cool.
All right. Well, these clips are interesting. I was telling Jeremiah I started editing them at 6:30 this morning. It took me 3 hours to get through all these because we pulled some of these clips from very, very long YouTube videos. So I had to kind of like find my way through them. But as I was watching them, I'm like, man, the parts that I had to clip were good, but like there was other stuff that I couldn't get in it. You know what I'm saying? I had to jump, you'll notice in some of these, I had to jump cut some of them because I wanted to make sure I got as much of it in as I could. So I took out all the ums and the, because it was so interesting. So I can't wait to hear what you guys are going to say about this. But let's start with the first one. This was one Ryan actually found.
Okay.
His favorite podcast.
Harley initiated. 500,000 subscribers.
We need to get
shout
them here.
Yeah,
we need to go on there.
Congratulations
man.
To them. That's huge milestone. 500,000. And what's the young man that Tyshawn?
Tyshawn got engaged. Yeah,
so congratulations to him. Mm-hmm. But they had a guy on there named Myron Edmonds.
Dr. Myron Edmonds.
And Ryan was like, "You got to listen to this."
Yeah.
He was
hot.
Perturbed with some of the stuff he said. So I don't know if you guys have heard it yet. So this will be a fresh reaction to Brother Myron. I actually have two clips from him.
Yeah.
All right, let's go with the first one. This one actually was also submitted by one of our patrons.
Okay.
Yeah, so at the same time.
Okay,
so.
Good.
All right, here we go. Why are men not going to church?
See, and this is the problem with religion. This is the problem with people who want to control the narrative. And this is the reason why men don't go to church. These are professional, young, successful brothers. Why you ain't going to see them in church? Number one, they don't want to get vulnerable and real in front of other women.
Yep.
That's big. Man, that's a huge one. Because the truth is, I'm lusting on the sister right here to the right.
Yeah, part of the problem.
That's the truth.
Part of the problem is that big booty girl right there, and that one right there, I don't feel safe.
No.
I don't feel safe here.
It's true.
I don't feel safe. Right? The other thing is you want brothers want to be with other brothers.
Yeah.
Because most of us did not have strong male presence in our lives.
That's true.
Men crave to be with other men. We shouldn't be shocked by that. That's why people join gangs. I don't know if y'all from the hood. That's why people join gangs. That's why they hang on the street corner. You don't see them hanging on the street corner with women. Mm-hmm. Like, men gravitate to other men. They're looking for that brotherhood, for that community. Yeah, and then the other thing is men want to be taught. They want to learn. They want to get cerebral. Now, I'm going to say this. There is a need for emotional expression. There is a need for lifting our hands, worshiping, praying, and falling prostrate and being vulnerable like that in God's presence. But typically, because men lean towards the logical mind, they want to feel like they are learning something and not like they're being manipulated by someone.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
I agree.
Yes.
The churches that's out there do not fit the rubric that you guys just described in your small group. And it just goes to show, you don't care whether the church got 1,000 members.
It don't matter.
Oh, no.
That don't matter.
Honestly,
at all.
Whether the preacher's a celebrity.
Yeah.
Whether the preacher's a celebrity and got a social media following of 2-3 million. Like, just put me in an environment where I can be real, vulnerable, I can learn the word in safety, and I can grow.
We crave spiritual accountability. We crave spiritual routine. And it's not even a thought that you can get that in church.
All right. So, what do you guys think about, what they said? Well, what he said specifically about men and church.
So I watched the whole interview for context. And I know people have always said, hey, y'all play a little bit of the clip, but do you watch the whole interview? Yeah, I watched the whole interview. And the thing that stood out to me was, I just feel like it was bad advice to talk about the church not being a place where men should be vulnerable. I don't think you should separate the vulnerability of a man and a woman in a sense like that. I feel like, you know, if God's gonna tug on the strings of your heart. I mean, it doesn't have to be that you're a man or a woman and he does it differently. Like if you got to cry and release, you got to cry and release. You know, I just don't feel like men need to worry about that in that sense. Like, you come to God, man, naked, ashamed, unashamed, and unafraid. And so I don't think that you put boundaries on it. But there were so many things in that interview that just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. It felt like they were also trying to deter men from the church, saying, like, do your small group, do that. And I said, okay, that's cool. You can do a small group. You know, I've been a part of a men's small group before. But you also have to worry about what happens when that person, that male, gets married and he starts being the steward of a family. And now you've got him doing his small group thing, but where are he and his wife coming together for fellowship? Where are the children going to come in at some point and get the word of God? So I don't feel like you should just take out the institution of church and not recommend that to new believers. And if I don't know if they're new believers or not. I know Tyshawn and Ryan are closely, you know, they're newer in their walk, but they're getting more established day by day. But with anyone listening to their podcast, that's the thing. It's like you got an audience of a number of different people. With an audience of new believers and established believers and anywhere in between, you want to make sure that advice that you give them is enough for anybody to get that beginning and then move from there, like in a safe space.
I think listening to what he said, I feel like
I felt some extra heat.
Yeah, you're gonna go. You're let loose. I think at the end of the day, what he was saying was men don't feel comfortable speaking how they would speak in front of just men versus at a church where there's a bunch of women. And it's like, you know, if I'm a single man and I'm going to a single event and or I have a young adults kind of day at the church and there's a lot of women, it's like men don't want to share in front of women.
But I've never done that at my church. Been at my church 25 years and they've never asked us to share publicly what we're going through in a group setting that wasn't all men.
No, but what I'm saying is it's some settings where like if you have a young adult event or a young adult situation, like maybe young adults meet once a month or every whatever, and there are people there and they break out. I remember this happening, like where people will break out in groups. Mm. And if you like, it's only like me, you, and you there, you're gonna be in groups with women. So it's like, I don't know if I'm gonna share my heart. Ooh. If I'm what am I dealing with? So that's why I think if he's coming from that perspective, then I understand what he's saying, because some men are like, I really don't want to share that I'm struggling with XYZ in front of this woman like that. You get what I'm saying?
No, but what he was telling them was that they have the right to call what they're doing church. Like, this is the church for them. They don't have to go into an institution for church. Like,
who,
that's what the pastor was telling them.
Oh, yeah. You still need a traditional church, man. I think at the end of the day, you still need to go to a place where there's believers and organizations there that can help you walk stuff out. You know what I'm saying? I always get that, two or three guys that we church. Now, that is, but at the end of the day, you still need an overseer of people that you can be like, yo, I'm submitted to leadership in this church or whatever. You know what I mean?
I'm going to ask y'all a question then. We're going to look scripturally, right? What about like the house of Stephanus? And what about these different things where they were having these gatherings in the home that wasn't necessarily in the temple, but these are people who had the Holy Spirit, who would have gatherings in their home and people would come. I think if I'm looking at church as a whole now, I think the day of the traditional church where it's just one building where everybody kind of comes and goes, I think it seems like that's fading away, whether we agree with it or not, that it's kind of fading. And I think what you're seeing is a lot of churches are going to the model of having a micro church where it's like, okay, we might have a central location, but I might have 10 people over here, 10 people over here, 10 people over here. And what I do is I have a curriculum or I have a guideline which we're all following together, and I might have a leader in each one of these things.
And that like small groups though?
Yeah. Yeah. Essentially, but that's kind of the model, because church attendance, if you look at the stats, church attendance is going down unless you just have like a phenomenon, like you see a 2819 or like a change church or things of that nature. But as a whole, especially after COVID, a lot of churches closed down because they weren't able to maintain the facilities and the cost and things of that nature, especially with the economic situation we in right now. Yeah. Like, you know, a lot of churches have closed down. But regarding what he's saying, I feel like I try to stay away from absolutes when we talk about like the church, because every church is different. Like I've seen churches where they had thriving men's ministries and thriving women's ministry, and they were still able to come together and do things together that were applicable for like the community between the men and women. Yeah. But I've also seen a church that was mostly dominated by women, and men weren't there because they felt like they didn't have like species there to communicate and understand what they were going through. And we don't always want to talk to women about what we're going through, just like women don't want to talk to us about what they're going through. So I think it's necessary to have that, but if he's suggesting that we shouldn't attend church all together because men feel a certain kind of way, that's why I draw the line. My challenge to him would be, if you're at a church and you feel like this is lacking, why not you create that space to where you say, hey, men, if you're going through, if you have issues you want to talk to amongst men, if it's just two or four or five of us, like.
That's what they did. Yeah. They have a small group. And this whole conversation kicked off because they have a small group of men, and they said that other people who they've invited on the podcast has said that that's not a church, and Myron is saying it is. So that's what started it off.
I believe it is, but my personal take, I think it is. I think we've kind of got this model in our mind that church is what we know church to be, but that model came really, if you know the history of it, it came during like the Industrial Revolution, where church took more of a business model, where we're like, okay, we're going to have this building. We need to generate this amount of funds to have this going and this going and this going. But when you look biblically, you ain't got to look biblically. You can look globally now. Like, it's people in other countries who are not able to have facilities and buildings and churches with air conditioning and chairs and stuff like that. They meet it underground and in secret. We can't tell them they're not having church because they're underground hiding from the government who might try to kill them for worshiping Christ. So I think it's just we have to open our mind a little bit more. I think what Ryan is saying, what I agree with you looking at, is like, you got to have somebody there who knows a little bit more than you that can hold you accountable.
Yeah, that's what I was about
and
to say.
That's one thing. And challenge you. Yeah, but the actual facility might not be necessary. Yeah. I could have a group of 15 people. We meet at the park.
Yeah.
And we're talking, you know what I'm saying?
And what I was responding to, and I'll let somebody else go after this, what I was responding to really was the fact that if men are not going to church, then we do have more of the imbalance at the church. Yeah. And I think that's the part where we already see women and you know, dominance at the church right now. Like, as far as my church goes, I know it's, I look out there, and if it is a man there, he's married, you know what I mean? I think that's the part that scares me, is that if you're telling men not to go to church, because they can't get vulnerable there. They shouldn't, you know, want to be vulnerable there. Then I feel like, yeah, that's the issue.
Yeah, you shouldn't tell them not to go to church. I think like what Ryan was saying, they created that small group. I think that should happen more often. If you're in a church where you feel like it's female dominated and you can't really express yourself, if somebody sees a need, sometimes when you see the need, that don't mean you just run because it's not available.
Yeah.
If you see the need, sometimes you need to come together with some other guys and kind of try to create that kind of space in that.
And I'm all for that. Because we did that. We did that at Sean's apartment before, or his townhouse before we got married. But what I don't like is the fact that you're taking men away from the church and not encouraging them to go to the church.
Yeah.
I agree. Because even if we go back to the Bible, because like I definitely hear what you're saying, Plain James. But that's the way those things are set up is in their particular context. Because if we do go back to the Bible, they did go to the temple to worship and stuff like that. And they had small groups. So I think we should definitely have both. And I don't think it would be beneficial for them to only retract into their small groups. Mm-hmm. To be honest, they serve different purposes. So even to compare them next to each other, it's like, bro, you're missing the point.
Right.
So of course, a small group is going to cater to you more personally and intimately because you're in a smaller group. Now in church, when we listening, we all really sitting and listening to the pastor and corporately worshiping together. There's not a time for you to share vulnerably what you're doing anyway. Like your purpose is there to sit there and listen to the pastor speak for the sermon. And then you break into your men's group events and things like that. Y'all men's breakfasts, ball games. The men be having the best events. Y'all be having fish fries and everything, man. Yeah. And then from there, you also have your other complement. These are all complementary. Then you have your small group that you have your more personal accountability partners, people that know more than you. Because, bruh, to me, it sounds like pride. If you want to hang with your friends, just say that. Because that's what it sounds like to me. So it's like they all serve different purposes. They all complement each other. You should have all of that. But also understand even church as a whole is a complement to your personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. So you're not specifically leaning on just the pastor to teach you. You at home also being discipled by the Holy Spirit and reading the Bible yourself. So all of this stuff is complementary.
Master question. So I'm looking at Francis Chan, right? And he was pastoring with that church, Saddleback. I don't know the name of the church.
Simi Valley.
He had that huge church that he was pastoring, right? Now when you look online, he travels and he preaches. But now, so he meeting in his living room. I think I don't agree with a gang of men just going over here have a men's only church. You know, so I'm not saying that. Yeah. Or a woman's only church. I think it's benefit of us congregating together. Like, if you want to be a man that's married, you need to hear how women feel about certain things. You need to hear, if you're a woman, you should have how men feel about certain things. It's certain things in the Word that are applicable for everybody.
Yeah.
Like, it's benefit in us coming together in a family setting. Like, it's benefit.
Yeah.
I just don't necessarily think it has to be, the big church. I think you could do what Francis Chan is doing in a living room, and you can have men, women, and children and stuff. You can have 15 people. Because let's be real about it. The average church probably had 20 members. What's the difference of us meeting, just 20 people meeting at our house, you know what I'm saying, or 20 people meeting in the building where we got to pay all these fees and stuff?
Well,
I think the semantics is the difference here.
Yeah.
I think what we're looking at is there's a difference between, like you just said, if Francis Chan has 20 people meeting in his house, versus like him having an actual building, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it's like, I don't think Francis Chan is going to tell people like, hey man, just do the small group thing if this relatable. It's like, nah, bro, we need to come together collectively. And then still at the same time, like you said, I use my church as an example. I go to a church called Victory. So, and Victory is the main services. They have multiple churches, but they have the main service. But then also you have small groups. Like I'm a small group leader, me and my wife. So like we meet with our small group, and then we use the curriculum that he preached about on Sunday in our small group to talk about it.
Yeah, I guess my question is, or what I'm feeling like is, what if what we're calling small groups could actually be qualified to be a church? We call it small groups because of the model that we have. We have the model that it's a pyramid. We have this big church over here.
But isn't it like the Moses model? Like, you know how Moses was like, had Israel and was like, okay, well, let's break this down. Hey, you're going to be over these people. It's like, it was like a trickle effect of, as a leader, I can't lead all these people. It's like thousands of people.
Yeah.
So let's break these people down. Okay, Pops, you get them. Such and such, you get them, and like that. That's like almost like an original small group.
But do you have to have the big campus to do that?
No. You don't. No. You don't. So I'm not saying you do, but what I'm saying is sometimes the problem with stuff like this is there's people that's isolated. So if, let's say, prime example, I go to your church, right? Mm-hmm. And you preaching on self-denial and pride, but I got all the men at my church talking about, somebody say, hey, man, I'm dealing with lust. Man, you good, bro. You a man. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it should be all. I don't think it's healthy. I think within that small group, you should have various people. You should have men, women. I think, I'm not talking about just have a men's court over here where we just, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this ain't a football team. Like, we a church, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, like, what if what we're calling small groups, like small groups you have with your wife, I'm pretty sure it's men and women in there.
Yeah.
We call those small groups because of the model that we have. We think church is supposed to look like. If you go to Africa, that's a church.
Yeah.
I get
what you're saying. See what I'm saying? So I think if we're going to have a truth has to be something that no matter where it is, it universally is the truth. We have an American model because we have an American business model that we shaped our churches after. But anywhere else in the world, if I got 7 to 8 people here who believe in Christ and someone is anointed to teach and share the gospel, that's a church.
I guess the question is who's these people accountable to?
That's the.
Now you should always have a cover. You should never do ministry without a covering. So look at Abraham. When Abraham was moving, Melchizedek just came out the blue. Melchizedek didn't have no, you know what I'm saying? Melchizedek just showed up.
Yeah.
God anointed him to be that. So I'm saying, like, it don't matter where you at. If God has anointed you to be a covering or to be that person, like, and legitimately done that in a biblical sense, like, you can do that. I think we're just locked in to what church supposed to look like. Cause we see a 2819 down the street with 6,000 people in there. That's church. We go over here, we see Change Church, you got 4,000 or 5,000. Yeah. Like, we're locked into this model because we're in America.
Yeah, like, I think the thing that scared me about this conversation was that when he told them that they were a church, right? Now, all of a sudden, you've got these guys who are, you know, somewhat new to their Christian walk, right? Mm-hmm. And now people are looking at them because they have a social media platform. Oh, that's my pastor now. You know what I'm saying? And now all of a sudden, that's what they're thinking. Like, I'm going to church on Sunday because I'm going to meet up with bruh. You know what I'm saying? And so, that to me is the scary part.
It's dangerous, but it's a benefit to that too. I think the issue that we've seen is all these people with these platforms jumping on these platforms too fast before they've been discipled. Now, if I'm at a mega church with 5,000 people, the chances of me getting that intimate discipleship are probably slim. So I think it might be more beneficial if I have a smaller setting to where I'm more intimate and I can really talk to you with 10 people in a room and I can say, hey, this is what I'm dealing with, and you can focus. It's like a classroom. Like, if you had a choice for your kids to go to a school, would you want your kids in a classroom with 100 kids, or would you want 12 kids?
Nah, they go to school my son goes to school with, like, 8. Yeah.
Because that's beneficial for him. You know what I'm saying? So it's the same thing with discipleship and the faith. I kind of rather be in a situation where I don't want to have to go get tackled by a security guard to talk to my pastor. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd rather be like, hey, pastor, can I meet you for coffee?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so if it's a setting like that, that's cool. I don't believe in the machismo, all the men just get together. Yeah, we over here. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's kind of questionable. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying the size of the people, I think it still can be church without it being.
I think the issue here, though, is their small group is not structured like a biblical church. I mean, the church describes pastors, elders, overseers, evangelists.
Yeah.
There's no structure to it. It's really just dudes hanging out, and, you know, it's an accountability group.
Yeah.
But if they want it to be I would say church, it does describe some roles.
Yeah.
Some procedure. Mm-hmm. Like, we should be praising God together. If somebody speaks in tongues, somebody should interpret. Like, it's not silent about how a church should look. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think it could be a church.
Yeah.
And I think church, we got to define it. There is a church and then the church. Like, you're the church already. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So, and he even says, like, he's with you no matter, like, he's here with us today. But the actual function of a church is not just, oh, we're hanging out, we're doing this. Like, this is more of a small group.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The actual church, we're supposed to be praising God together. We're supposed to be praying together. We're supposed to be getting instructed together. We're supposed to be corrected together. We're supposed to be, you know, giving to the poor together. Like, there's more to it than just hanging out and trying to overcome lust. You know what I mean?
Right. Agreed.
They were a secular podcast, and then they just kind of announced they were more of a Christian podcast.
They've been on that journey for a while.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, 6 months ago, they were leading a small group where they were leading a social media challenge of 90-day purity fast, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not a fast.
That bothers you.
Because if you're talking to me and I'm going to your church on Sunday and you're telling me like I'm.
Here's the thing, overall, because we have another thing with them, and it's kind of on this where okay, you're going go now. But my encouragement to them is, go to a traditional church. You can still do this thing that you're doing, because I think mm-hmm. it is a good thing for the brothers, especially at the stage they're at. I mean, they're us 20 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to discourage anybody from, hey, I want to do this. Let's go. Let's start something. Let you know, do it. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because people discouraged us when we started. So I don't want to do that. But I would also encourage them to be under some accountability, because if you're not, then you may go your own way. You may have things in your own mind that kind of lead you away from the truth. And there's nobody there to say, hey, young man, like I've seen this before. Don't do that.
Yeah.
And not to say that that could happen to them, but we've seen a pastor fall before and take the congregation out. Mm. You know what I mean?
But again, I'll say this. We're not your church. And I say it all the time when we have this. Like, these podcasts are not your church. And I'm saying, I say that because I feel like we don't know you. These guys don't know you. You just know them. You don't. They don't have a repertoire with them. You can. We get people asking, "Hey man, can y'all talk about this? Hey, can y'all pray for me on this?" That's great. But there's nothing like accountability at a church where you can talk to somebody, even if it's not the pastor. It could be an associate pastor. It could be somebody on a team that you can go talk to. Please try again. I pray. That's my prayer. Please try again. Anybody out there listening to us, please try again to find a church home.
And that's coming from a real place, because if you've never been in a situation where you had to try again, like we've had to try again. There's people at our church that had to try again. That's a different.
Yeah.
You feel differently when you lost your kind of church you grew up with.
Yeah.
Or you had to move. Or it's a different world where you have to now say, where's my church home?
Yeah.
It's a hard experience. A lot of people that I know that came from our church got lost along the way. They're still wandering.
Yeah.
And it could put you, it just puts you in danger. It's like, you know, you see those National Geographics where the one elk or whatever it is by, that's the one they're gonna pick off, because you think you're strong. I mean, it's a strong animal.
Yeah.
But they could surround you and pick you off, and you don't want to be by yourself.
Yeah.
All right, so let's do this one. They went into another conversation where he was explaining kind of like where he came from, like his history of how he, because now he used to be a pastor. He's not a pastor now. He's leading communities of men. Let him explain what he was dealing with at that time.
I was a super accomplished pastor, community leader, author, you know, all that stuff. I'm also a military chaplain. I don't know if I told you guys. So I'm in the Air Force. I'm a chaplain in the Air Force. I got a lot going on. My name was getting big. I'm preaching everywhere. I'm doing things. I'm sought out, you know, all that stuff. So in my arena as a pastor, I'm what you would call a successful pastor, right?
Right.
And in my denomination, everybody was like, they know my name, blah, blah, blah. Simultaneously, I'm not a good husband.
Oh, no.
Simultaneously, I'm not a good father. Simultaneously, I'm addicted to pornography. Bro, and I tell people all the time, I would go on porn binges after God used me.
Wow.
I would be most tempted to go choke the chicken.
That's correct. Really?
Right after you preach.
Can I tell you why? Because what happens is when God uses you on, see, look, you are, for all the anointing that you have, and you brothers are anointed, like this platform God has given you, it's not because y'all are talented. God favored you with this. There's something that God's given you, right? So here's the thing, though. The more anointed you are, the more problems you got. As a matter of fact, your anointing is an announcement that you effed up.
Wow.
Look at every dude in the Bible who is significant, and every last one of them has something proportionate to their gifting that has the potential to take them out. The Bible says Noah, the scripture says that Noah, God found grace in his eyes. He saved his family in the flood, all that type of stuff. As soon as the flood was over and the waters receded and the earth got dry, the Bible says he got butt naked and drunk. He planted a vineyard, got drunk. Abraham was a liar. David was a murderer. We say David was a adulterer, but he didn't. That wasn't adultery with Bathsheba. In those days, she ain't had no choice. He took her from that dude, from his man, Uriah.
That is adultery.
Just Moses. Moses was a murderer. Paul was, just look throughout scripture. Look at the apostles. Here's what I'm saying. When you are anointed, your anointing is to cover for all the crap you got going on. Mm. That's an announcement. So a lot of times we look up at people and we're shocked when we see these pastors have these moral falls or make the, bro, why are you shocked? Oh, bro, all that came, it slipped out. God been covering him all those years because he was gifted. And so same was for me.
Ooh, so shit. Anointing basically covers your mess?
So that's where he was losing me. Yes. I'm like, because, oh. Okay, so remember the context. Ryan's like, this is horrible. This guy is awful. Mm-hmm. So I'm listening. I'm like, well, he didn't say everything he said wasn't awful. Like, I appreciated his his candor with them, and he was really honest with them. Mm-hmm. But this is where I was just like, what is he talking about? It sounds like an excuse. It sounds like if I am here, I'm here because I'm anointed. These other great men of God were anointed. That means I'm hiding something that I'm dealing with. So everybody you see that you is anointed, that anointing is in proportion to how dirty their life is. So mm-hmm. you shouldn't be surprised when you find out dirty things about your favorite pastor. It's like, wait a minute.
This is why you should only go to small groups. This is an example of why you shouldn't only go to small groups.
Yeah. So I'm trying to, because I don't think he's saying that it's okay to do what he did. Cause later on he keeps talking. He says he's overcome that, whatever.
Mm.
But to frame it as if you are doing something great for God means you are hiding a secret.
I know what he was trying to say. He didn't say it right.
What was he trying to say?
So he was all right in the beginning. So what he was saying was, when you're up there and God is using you, like, you're just a man that God is using. He's put you in this position. He's anointing you to be a pastor. He's anointing you to do this thing. So after you finish your assignment, you often see when somebody preaches, you ever hear somebody after they preach say, hey, let's pray for the pastor. Or they pray, they'll be like, all the virtue that you poured out, we pray that, you know, God restore you, things like that. So sometimes you see people feel weak. Like, they'll feel tired because it's really the Spirit of God using an individual. It's not that human strength is going forth proclaiming that word. So they'll feel weak and they'll feel vulnerable. Yeah, some folks will get prayer, get covering for that. You should have people around you, deacons, prayer people, whoever to pray for you. Some people don't have that because we live in a culture where they idolize the pastor. They see him as the superhero. So this pastor goes up here. He gets used by God. Now, he's weak, he's vulnerable, he's tired. The devil's not going to just sit back and let you just keep on proclaiming the word and being effective in the kingdom of God just because you're anointed and you're gifted. You're going to have him coming at you because what he's trying to do, he can't take your salvation, but what he can do is ruin your witness to the point where now you're so caught up in all this stuff. So if a scandal come out, oh, he watching kids on or he watching stuff on pornography, or he's, you know what I'm saying, anything.
Like, dang, James.
Yeah, understanding, like, kids. this stuff happens.
No, but kids.
No, it's real.
No,
this stuff happens,
real.
You know what I'm saying? Crazy. So, like, if some kind of scandal comes out after the fact, it's like, yeah, he's anointed. Yeah, he can preach, but yeah, he's a human and he's vulnerable as well. So he needs to have somebody praying for him and covering him as well. That's why covering is important. I never disagreed with that. Yeah. But what he was trying to say is that. Now, part of him saying that the anointing covers your mess, what he's trying to say is we all have something that we're dealing with. And just because you have something that you're dealing with doesn't disqualify God from using you. Now, if everybody saw, God covers us, like God covers everybody to a certain degree. Mm. So it's a covering that God has on you to the point where whatever you're anointed to do, God will still, you're still allowed to do that. Because if the veil was removed for every dirty thing that you've done, everything you did, nobody would want to listen to you.
Right.
Because they're looking at you like, why would I want to listen to him? He's X, Y, and Z. You know what I'm saying? So what he's trying to say is it's a covering that God has on you. It's a grace that God has on you in order for you to be used. The way he articulated it was terrible.
I don't know. I'm not sure he was trying to say that. Yeah. Because it sounds to me like he was saying the more anointing, the more mess. And I just can have whatever you call anointing. I think people, I think in our culture, we consider you being a celebrity something means you're more anointed. You could be a janitor and be more anointed than any of these, any of us. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I don't want to associate celebrity with anointing. So the more anointed means the more sinful you. I don't see the scale equation of that. Like there are people who have no visible call in their life that could be the worst, awfulest people, and people who are doing is in God's eyes the best possible could be. It sounded like he was saying, the mess that I was doing is to be expected, so don't feel bad if you're doing it too. The message came across that way.
How he said it was absolutely terrible. Let's say that. Like, how you said it was terrible. But what I feel like, I could be terribly wrong. I don't want to defend nobody who being foolish. You know what I'm saying? But what it seemed like he was trying to say was, on my own, I'm not qualified to do this. I got a whole lot of mess going on with me. I would preach a sermon, then go on a porn binge. Like, I would do this thing. I'm not defending that. That's not good. But you would be surprised how many people are in position of leadership who are doing ministry who struggle with some of the most heinous things that you can think of.
Yeah. Right.
So I think what he's saying is, when you have a certain level of anointing, there's a certain level of spiritual warfare and spiritual attack that's going to come along with that. And some people are discerning enough to know, like, hey, I need to be covered in prayer and this and that. Some people just fully indulge in whatever it is. So what I feel like he was trying to say was, as messed up as I am, there was more grace and more anointing on my life because I really didn't deserve to be in that spot. God chose me for that spot, so that's why he covered me the way that he did, because I'm really messed up.
He didn't say none of that.
I think, that would have seemed like,
my bad, I think you're being really, really kind. When I first heard him speak, what came to me almost immediately, but I didn't say it, was pride.
Yes, that's what came
that's
to me.
That's what immediately came to me, and that was the other clip.
I was successful in my denomination.
Like, you're leading with all of these.
Yeah, I think he was really sad.
Like, when does being popular and approved by people affirm that you're in right standing with God? I don't think it ever does. Even Paul was saying, like, if I'm searching for the approval of man, then I am not, you know, search for the approval of God. Y'all get to paraphrase it. I can't remember it exactly. But it's literally pride. Because even if we're going to a church looking for I and what it can do for me, you've missed a point. It's supposed to change you. It's not supposed to be there for your preferences. It's supposed to change you. That's the purpose of you being. There's so many purposes of being in a full body that we can't even fully articulate. We just know God told us to do it, and he told us to do it for a reason, so that's why you do it. And then as far as this other one, it's like the amount. He was like, the amount of anointing as you are shows how messed up or effed up or something he said.
Yes, that's the exact word he used.
Sir, yep. We are. One of my favorite stories is literally Jesus' first miracle. And it shows how God uses dirty vessels, these dirty, dirty vessels that they use to wash their ceremoniously wash your hands, because that's what you're supposed to do when you enter into a place. He used those to create the most finest wine. So it's the understanding that God uses dirty, broken vessels to do his work. Yes. However, but when you're supposed to stay at the feet of God so that God can refine you and sanctify you.
Absolutely.
So to say, oh, my anointing shows you I'm effed up, baby, we already understand that all of us are messed up to a certain degree. Yeah. But it does not validate that, honey. Not
Absolutely.
At all.
Absolutely. Also, just to piggyback on what you said, for one, Jesus is the first and primary example that anointing does not necessarily necessitate that your life be effed up. So can we just start there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Also, there are other examples of people who were consecrated, you know, and who were obedient, who the Lord used. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessary that your life be jacked up for you to be used by God. And I, playing to what you said, I think that would have been the correct way of saying it, the proper perspective to have had.
You need to go on there.
Yeah,
clean it up.
But
his speechwriter.
That's not what I heard from what he said. What I heard was anointing equals jacked up, and that is not correct. That may not be what he meant, but that's how it came out. And so I just think that that's not a helpful perspective to have. And also, like, you know, we be having trauma, you know, I talk about this sometimes, like, so healing is important, but I don't think that there should be this expectation that because you're gifted, that means that, your life should be jacked up. It's like, okay, let's be healed at the feet of the Father. Like, let's lay down our stuff. Let's talk in community. Let's hash this stuff out. Let's not be hidden in our sin. Like, let's be honest, you know, like, that's what's necessary. But I don't think we should associate prestige, success in ministry as like, oh, your private life must be a mess because the anointing just necessitates foolishness. Absolutely not.
I don't want to make it seem like I'm agreeing with this once again, but when he said that I was successful, he did go like, I was successful. I think reason why I took this, the point of view I did, is because what he was saying was, in the eyes of men, it would seem that I had everything that you would want. I had respect. I had a claim. I had a reputation. I was known within my denomination as being this great preacher. But behind the scenes, my life was a mess. So he was just saying, like, I was anointed to preach the gospel, but I was a mess behind the scenes. So what it seems now is, like, he could have been saying what I was saying, or he could have misinterpreted the whole thing.
No. I think you're right about his ultimate point.
Yeah.
Right. But I think he took an aside, and he's talking to people that I would say are still in their process, and said, if you're anointed, you are going to have mess. So,
unhealthy
your advice. Mess, don't worry about it. It's normal.
It comes back.
That's what it, and, I think his ultimate, he got back to his point later.
And
but
James,
I think it's a weird aside when you're in a room full of people
Jeremiah
who need
goes,
more mentorship.
Yeah, before Jeremiah goes, maybe this helps you out. He didn't step down until his 7-year-old daughter found the porn on his phone. He was laying in the bed. She came and grabbed his phone. He was watching porn. That's how he stepped down. So it's like, in my mind, what I heard was, I was successful. I was selling books. I was doing all these things. I wasn't going to step down from that. I'm leaving this pulpit after I preached the sermon to go do my business, right? But there was no...
The only reason I don't think that's it either, because he did say later on that he's free from it. So if he was proud of it, he wouldn't then brag about being free from it.
I think he's... If you watch the whole interview, I think he's bragging in the interview.
I watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that he did distinguish it later and say... I got free from it. I'm helping other guys get free from it. So I think he was clear that that was not correct. I just don't like the aside he gave that anointing means sin.
That's
it doesn't
the
have
part
to.
Yeah, because I think, because I went to look it up, and it's like anointing signifies a special blessing or consecration. So like from the Old Testament field is consecrating individuals, sacred places was anointed. The temple was anointed. And then in the New Testament, anointing takes place on like the Holy Spirit presence and power and lives in a believer. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I get where he's coming from. Like, I've heard people say, like, you know, you get attacked as soon as you do something incredible for God. Like, you know, we've had people do stuff and then they got that something happened to their home, or you go and do a ministry, or you go out into the community and people get saved. And then all of a sudden, you start getting attacked. You know what I'm saying? So I get where he's coming from that angle. But I don't think your anointing is to cover the foolishness that you do in darkness.
Right.
You
that's know, God's you, grace.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what it is? And I think this is what's rubbing me wrong and probably Ryan wrong is this. I don't want there to ever be this idea that this double life as a Christian is okay in any way, shape, or form. Like, there's no excuse for it at all. If you think it's normal, it's not supposed to be.
Right.
Like, if you are actively doing something like this, or what he's doing, or what the hardly initiated guys are doing, or a pastor or whatever, if you are also doing what he said he was doing and or sleeping around with women or whatever, that is not okay.
Yeah.
It's not okay for any amount of time. Like, you have to stop. Mm-hmm. You have to stop right now. And I mean, of course, and if you can't, you need to stop doing the other thing.
Yeah.
Step down.
Chill for a second. Like, because the if you are successfully preaching and also successfully doing your own thing without repentance, that could do more damage longer term than whatever success you're gaining at the moment. Like, because because the people who find out that you were doing that during that time, we've seen it. You will lose them. They'll be like, oh, this is fake?
Yeah.
He was able to do that and he was fake? Oh, get out of here with this. Yeah. I'm out. You know what I mean? We've seen it happen.
Yeah, that sermon that y'all's pastor taught was, you know, blinded by the bee, and I was like, the whole time your eyes were just wide open to it. That's crazy.
You steady killing our pastor, man.
You say a name.
That was two.
I'm just saying, like, that was
blinded by the bee. Did he say the bee? Like the bee?
Bound by the booty.
Yeah,
I don't know why he censored that.
Oh, my kids can't say it, and they watch the show.
Okay.
Oh, dang. I thought you said
bee.
I'm like, man.
No.
You said a lot of worse stuff in here.
But what I'm saying is, I went to y'all's church on a half and half basis. Like, I was there on Sundays. Yeah, I was there on Saturdays. Yeah. I was there on the Thursday nights or whenever y'all had those special messages. So I was getting sucked into that as my second.
Yeah, but and that's exactly why I think we're kind of railing against this, because we watch somebody grow an empire, have the charisma. I would call it more charisma than anointing. I think people get those confused. Yeah. Just because you can talk good and you can get people to follow you don't mean you're anointed. You're slick. Yeah. So like, because he was successfully pulling like crowds and building this church up, yeah. but also one of the wildest dudes, not just secular, just the wildest people, period.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it sends such a devastating message to the people. And I'm not even making this up. I've talked to guys that were like, when I found out about that, man, I started cheating on my wife. I started doing this and this because I'm like, if he can't do it, what the heck am I stressing myself out about?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's terrible. The dangers of idolatry, man.
Like, yeah, that's real.
You can understand somebody being hurt, but I just encourage, like, if your pastor or your leader falls away, like, when you stand before God, he's not going to be there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you still got to stand
that's
before God.
Real.
You
don't say that
like he's going to be in heaven, period.
Yeah, and I understand.
Is it repentance? Let me stop.
I thought you said a name.
I understand you hurt. You know what I'm saying? But, hey, this ain't no tag team match. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Exactly.
You got to stand before God. You also,
that's real.
A lot of folks do things in the name of God that don't have nothing to do with God, but don't blame God. Just realize that's the person that you were dealing with.
But then, real quick, I think that's the reason why we have so many people, that's why we have so many church fallaways is because people idolize the pastor. And it's not like, and you're not supposed to idolize anybody. You're just supposed to be like, wow, the pastor gave a good word. Wow, the pastor, man, he did a very good job. He really spoke to me. The Lord used him to, like, if you look at your pastor as like a vessel God is using, then you wouldn't, to me, like you said, what you had so many guys saying that to me in my mind, I was like, when that happened, I was like, man, that sucks. But God, you still good. Like,
you know what's confusing about that? Even when people were treating our old pastor that way, maybe it's something wrong with me, but I never saw him that way. I'm like,
but
I never looked at him like some special dude. I don't follow pastors and watch pastors. So I'm like, what you idolizing this dude for?
Yeah. Yeah.
I had too many conversations with him. I'm like, this is a regular Negro to me.
Oh, no.
He gets to be up there, but he ain't nobody special to me. But I don't see anybody.
But anybody in that predicament isn't special. Like, even I always say this. Like, even pastors are held to a higher standard. But at the same time, it's like we shouldn't idolize anybody. We should thank God for them. We should pray for them. But at the same time, it's like I can't put my trust and my emotional baggage on this man because, God forbid, like Plain said, if you was to die tomorrow, you can't say, man, Pastor so-and-so fell, so that's why. He ain't going to be like, but what did I brung such and such back in your life. I brung that person back in your life and made you talk to them about who I am.
Yeah. Do you know why some people I saw were idolizing pastors? I don't know if this is a universal thing, but just eyewitness.
Yeah.
Is that they idolize him because they admire the power he has. Mm-hmm. They want to be pulled up into the power.
Yeah. Yeah.
So because I remember people came to me, and this is when I was leading Destinations.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, if you do a good job, we could put you in such and such. I'm like, I don't.
Yeah.
Right.
That's not appealing to me. I don't want to do that.
That's so funny. Everybody talking about that. I was like, I had a conversation where they were like, hey, man, you don't want to be over middle school? I was like,
no. You don't want to be an elder one day? No. You don't want to be this? And you don't want to be on stage? No. Why?
Yeah.
Do other people want that? Like, I don't get
some
that.
Some people do.
I don't get the attraction.
Yeah. 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 I think it's two things I wanted to say. First off, I think we talk about representation in media and like the importance of people seeing themselves, right? I think for me and my experience, sometimes the pastor can provide a form of representation of what godliness can look like.
Yeah.
What does it look like to be submitted? So I think, depending upon your context, if you haven't seen people who are submitted, if you haven't seen men who are devoted to the word of God, if you haven't seen like women, like if you're seeing people in places of authority, and you're like, oh, okay, so this is what it can look like. Like that's been my like experience with when I'm admiring people who are in pastoral positions or in positions of leadership. It's like, okay, so like you all are devout and you're living this thing out. So this gives me some idea of what it could look like. And so I feel like if people don't come from a Christian background, if they don't come from a community of people that understand how to be faithful, then that's it holds a heavier weight. You know what I'm saying? But also to your point about leadership, some stuff is just personality. Like some people just are more inclined to have the drive, to have the motivation to be in the spotlight. whereas other folks are just not. Like, it just really can be a personality thing.
So on a similar topic, remember the guy we brought up that was like, sex before marriage is all good and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
So girl, you weren't there that day. So yeah, we did a whole thing on him.
Wild time.
And since then, he was on Christian Smith's podcast. Mm-hmm. Y'all remember him?
Mm-hmm.
So Christian Smith is the...
He's like growing a... Like, he's growing like the Avengers of foolishness.
Yeah. So if you had any doubts that maybe this guy was just misguided, him showing up here, just like, oh.
Yeah. We know.
Okay. I see what you're doing. All right, so let's... He's doubling down on what he said.
But one of the things I think is consistent when it comes to sexual ethics, that what is being critiqued are acts of sexual violence, mm-hmm. abuse, and exploitation. None of these texts, I contend, are condemnations of consensual sexual ethical behavior, whether it's mono, poly, same gender loving. The theme for me that's clear is that ethically, the notion that these texts are condemning people's consensual, open, honest, loving choices and decisions is something that is decidedly against. I made the case in this sermon series that the word porneia is very clear in the New Testament to be about prostitution.
All right.
And all of the confusion that's transpired over the last 10 days since I preached this message is really not about the New Testament. What it is really about is the way in which we center white elite male exegetes, theologians, and commentators and Bible scholars. And we presume that their interpretive conclusions reflect God. But a black male scholar, Bible scholar, who happens to be a pastor, who reads Greek, Hebrew, French, German, Latin, Coptic. And for those of us who come from subaltern groups or oppressed groups, it matters when committees shift a term that is clearly about sexual abuse, the commodification and exploitation of people's bodies, the way in which governments profited off of that, that matters. And changing that meaning, right, to an issue of personal piety is deeply problematic. 12 years ago, 13 years ago, I came out very publicly in support of LGBTQ rights. This is very important because some people of faith, some Christians who support LGBTQ rights, they talk about it as if they're supporting Q plus rights despite the Bible.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, we know the Bible condemns it, but we should love everybody. That's the radical love ethic of Jesus, right? But I don't support LGBTQ plus rights despite the Bible by like suspending the Bible because we know scripture says it's wrong. I do so because of it. It's clear to me that there are no texts in the Bible. None, zero, nada, nunca, no texts in the Bible that condemn consensual same gender loving people or consensual same gender loving.
Jeez. Okay.
Avengers unite.
This is such a problem, man.
So,
such
and
a
this
problem.
Is growing.
Yeah, that's what you think we're pulling these out the ether. Like, this is happening more and more.
Yeah.
If you notice, there's like a trend happening where you're seeing it over and over again. It's African spirituality stuff, and then this sin is okay stuff. It's getting into our community. It's growing.
Yeah.
It's like, what is going on here? But this is the same dude that looked like it was on a regular pastor stage that anybody can confuse with a normal Christian preacher saying that sex is okay before marriage or outside of marriage or in marriage or
no, he was telling the congregation you can fornicate today.
Yeah,
like them kids in the youth ministry was like, oh, snap.
So then him showing up here is like,
head on out of here.
Oh, you're not even
because everybody thought, oh, maybe he just. It was a bad situation.
Yeah.
Nah,
this is full blown. Like, if you run in to him to explain yourself. Okay.
I'm waiting on them to just go ahead and say, do what thou wilt. Like, just go ahead and just tell us who you
with. That's basically what they said.
What I'm saying, they just say it so that everybody will stop. Because, man, I got so frustrated with this. I am so mad about all of this stuff because you just cannot go in and make the Bible what you want it to be for your own good. You cannot do that. And you should have heard this guy propping him up before. He was like, we got a theologian, a doctor who has studied the Bible. He is a professor of the word. He is, just bigging him up. So, like, the normal person who doesn't study, who doesn't understand the true gospel will listen like, oh, man, look at all those credentials. Yeah, let me listen to this. Let me suck this in. This is terrible, man. He didn't say anything, and it was so confusing. I mean, I just sat there, was like this the whole time. Man. I watched this at home and was like, what?
It's a sign of the times, man. This stuff gonna happen. Yeah. But as we look in the Word of God, I don't know what Bible he was reading.
Nada, nothing.
But we're gonna go to Romans chapter 1.
Amen.
I'm gonna start at verse 24 and just read.
Everybody
down.
Open up your Bibles.
It says, so God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desire. These are people who desire wickedness over righteousness. Who God say, you know what? That what you want to do? Live. All right. As a result, they did vile and degrading things to each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. Mm-hmm. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. Mm-hmm. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. If we go back up, he said these are detestable and vile things. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Since they thought it was foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. So what you're seeing right here, if these people really believe this and they're really going to preach this and they're going to stand on that hill until they die, these are people who have been... their mind has been deluded. Like God has said, you know what? I'm gonna turn you over to your foolishness.
Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go ahead, live it up.
Yeah.
But once again, the whole Avengers that like he was talking about, when y'all stand before God, they ain't gonna be there. Like you're gonna be there by yourself and you gotta stand there and give account for the fact that you told people it was okay to have sex before marriage. It was okay to be a homosexual. It was okay to do these vile things and detestable things that the word says. Now, when I say vile and detestable, I'm not saying that you can't be redeemed. I'm not saying you can't be saved. You're alive and you're breathing.
Yeah.
God can turn your situation around at any time and poof. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could be saved. But if you're going to stand on this hill and you think that's truth, what he's saying, and he think that's truth, it's not going to end well. Like, don't fall for the trick. Like, folks are telling you things that appeal to your carnal desires and your flesh, and they're not challenging you to come out of it. They're making you feel comfortable. When you're following the will of God, there's going to be some resistance. There's going to be some tension there because he's challenged you to go outside of your natural nature, your natural fleshly desires, and choose holiness over your flesh. Mm-hmm. If anybody is telling you, hey, do whatever you want to do, that's sin. When you go to the weight room and you go to the gym, how do you get stronger? Resistance. Like, God is telling you to resist your flesh. That's how you get stronger in the spirit. Yeah, if you're telling me to obey my flesh, I'm getting weaker in my spirit to the point where I'm going to just be like these people. I'm just going to be brainwashed.
Yeah.
Do not fall for the trick. The word of God sits here and says these things are wrong.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And I think it's so good that Sean brought that up. I almost jumped out of my skin. Because I think it was earlier this week where, you know, the Lord spoke to me. And the whole sin is not bad thing, I have noticed that has been circulating. And I was like, Lord, why is this a thing? Yeah. And what I feel like the Lord revealed to me was this is the same, like the enemy is the same. This is the same lie that was pitched to Adam and Eve in the garden. Because what is sin essentially? Sin is disobedience to God. Yeah. So yes, we can attribute it to these things like pornography and yada, 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 sexual immorality, which is literally in the Bible. Go to 1 Corinthians. But it's literally me telling you, oh, you're going to be like God. Oh, you can have this. Oh, you can be good outside of God. Mm-hmm. There's good outside of God.
Yeah, twisting the word.
You can disobey him. That's okay. That's normal.
Yeah.
It's the same lie. And to even set this guy up, or anybody, oh, they're theologians and this and this, they study, they read Greek and Hebrew. Satan know the Bible better than you. He's been around before you. So don't think just because somebody have all these accolades or all these right. these letters behind their name, that doesn't mean I automatically should believe everything that you say.
Absolutely. That's scary. I think, sometimes we can get caught up in someone's credentials. And the fact that they studied, okay, that's fair. That's a fair reason to be like, okay, they must know something of what they speak, right? But ultimately, there are different biases that the most studied people have. Like, if you sit a bunch of theologians in a room, they can all have different perspectives. So just because you're studied doesn't mean that you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important for us to understand that intellectualism does not equal correct. Like, just because you know some things. And the other point of this is recognizing that we have to be led by the Spirit, because the Bible talks about us, well, even in the scripture that was read, it talks about like them thinking themselves as right, but them becoming fools, claiming to be wise. They became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. So it's like, you can think that you know something. You can be educated, but that doesn't mean that you are submitted to the truth of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just really important to not think just because somebody is studied, they know all things. Because are you submitted to the Spirit? Because you can be uneducated and be submitted to the Spirit and have a clear understanding of God. And you can be the most elite intellectual and be submitted to the Spirit of God and have a good understanding of God. It has nothing to do with how studied you are. Mm-hmm. Are you submitted? Because the Spirit will lead you into truth, even if you don't know all of the intellectual sayings. So I think that's important to speak to.
You know how they're catching people, man? They're catching us, bro. They're catching black people, and they're catching them because they're saying, well, you know, this was in Africa. You know, this is part of your heritage. You know, that's how they're catching so many black people, because it's like, dang, it's almost like the counteractor of, it's like, well, I ain't gonna say brothers and sisters, like our white counterparts, they'll be like, well, see, they got MAGA. See, that's what they've been doing. So for us, we got African spirituality, or we could tap into our African ancestry, and this is what they were doing. Because that's what he was saying also, like, he got degrees in African spirituality, he got this or that. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I'm like you were saying, like, why is this so prevalent? And it's like you said, it's that, but it's so appealing to us as black people is because they're coming from that angle.
Well, you heard what he did.
Yeah.
He said, oh, the white theologians, you listen to them, but the black guy with all the degrees, you don't listen to me. It's
exactly.
Like making a black-white thing. It's like, no, bro, you're just wrong, bro.
But right. Anyway, no, but
it ain't got nothing to do with that.
No, the funny part is, it's really not funny. The actual part is, the reason why they catch people is because we're in this renaissance.
Well, if you look at the comments, what's so interesting about this, watching all these videos that have been emerging, is if you look at the comments of those videos, it sounds like our video. It's like, amen. You preaching.
Yeah.
Man, you really giving them the word right now. They, you know what I'm saying? Like, it sounds exactly the same.
Yeah. It's just interesting. It's bots.
I wish it was, but it's not. It's not real people. And I'm glad you brought up Genesis, because when you say it's the same lie, I just wanted to go back and look at the lie, like how crafty it was. So, like, you know, the serpent is coming to Eve, and she's like, God said that, you know, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be open. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the same kind of thing. It's like, it says that, but that's not what it really means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the same thing he's doing. Oh, he said that, but that's not really what's going on. This is what's really going on.
Yeah.
And it's like, the fact that still works now.
Yeah.
He's so smart.
That's crazy.
But that shows to tell you, like, when we do read and when you listen to deliverance ministers that actually know what they're talking about, they don't tell you to argue with demons. They don't tell you to talk to demons. They tell you to cast it out, like the scripture says, because these entities have been around longer than we have.
Yeah.
They are smarter than we are. Even angels do not argue with Satan. I can't remember where it is, but there is a story in the Bible where Satan showed up to the angels because he wanted Moses' body. And even then, the angel was like, the Lord rebukes you. Like, I'm not about to sit here and go back and forth with you. The Lord rebukes you. All I have to say is what God says, which is what we do as well. We speak the word to Satan or whatever. So it's like we have to understand that we are against a cunning enemy that is smarter than you. Speak the word and don't entertain the foolishness. Cast it out.
So I'm so glad you brought up demons because I'm going to need some help on this next one. Mm-hmm. What the heck is going on here?
Yeah.
Okay, just keep that question in mind. What is going on here with Kevin Gates and Paul Pierce?
There's certain places I shouldn't even place myself in energetically.
I never thought
All spiritually, all psychologically. And I was like, you know what? It's not because I feel like I'm better. It's because I know I am.
Are you an angel?
What you just said?
Are you an angel?
I'm the angel of fear.
The angel?
The angel of fear.
You're the angel of fear. That's
what
you're
saying. Yeah. Those who know,
know what I'm saying?
I understand exactly what you're saying. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Pause.
You understand?
Yes, sir. He who opposes us in his heart.
Do you let people know?
Fear shall overtake him.
Do you let people know that? Do you tell people that?
Those who have eyes, let them see. And those who have ears, let them hear. It ain't for me to put it down. They know the voice of their shepherd when I'm on location.
Girl.
Yes, sir. I got to shoot.
Give me a handshake on that one.
Yes, sir.
We speak the same language.
Yeah. It's nice to meet you.
Jesus. I love that.
I had to.
Hey, he understands.
Oh, I cut it off. Okay. At the end... And it may, when we actually put this out, it may be clear because OBS cuts off the last couple of seconds. At the end, he was like, it's good to meet you. So,
what
is going on here? What is going on? What is happening?
Man. I'm going to say this. And I know y'all don't like your boy G. Craig, right? Y'all don't like him. But he said something in that... He said something in that Ezekiel interview that was really good. He said a lot of these celebrities use the book of Aleister Crowley, because Aleister Crowley was doing spells on, and he told people how to cast spells to make people fall in love with you. And like, he gave an example. He was like, there's a lot of people who play. There's a lot of musicians in the world, right? Mm-hmm. And he was like, there's musicians that people walk in rooms and people go, oh, that's such and such, and keep it moving. But then he's like, Beyonce walk in the room, Drake walk in the room, all these other people walk in the room, and they faint, they crying, and they like, and you was like, that's just a musician, like somebody, like, you know what I'm saying, somebody rapping or whatever. And he was like, a lot of these people, celebrities, they do, and I'm saying this about Kevin Gates, I've heard stuff with Kevin Gates where he's a synchronism. He believes in secondary, but he's like, he'll say Islam, but then he'll start talking about New Age stuff. Mm-hmm. So he probably tapped into something that got a hold of him. Because, and the reason I'm saying that is because, I'm serious.
Crack.
No, but what I'm saying is that sometimes when you tap into stuff that you thinking is bringing you freedom, is really bringing you bondage.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think what I'm saying is at times that what he was saying, going back to G. Craig, what he was saying was Aleister Crowley made books basically about like how to do spells, how to do evil stuff, and people would go to these celebrities, and not like newer celebrities, but like even old celebrities. Like we think about all everybody new, like 80s, but people from back in the day, like was doing black and white movies, were doing what he was saying, where you would call up a demon to like invoke a demon so that you can have people fall out and people worship you and different things of that nature.
So you weren't on the call, I don't think, when we played this. But some just register for you. What do you think is going on here?
That man possessed by a demon.
These demons are bold. Yeah, that was that. I'm shocked that it's like, wow. Like, this stuff used to be so hidden. It used to be, but it's just in your face now. So what you saw is me being shocked that like
oh, they just come out and admit it.
They just talking. Out and just talking.
But what was going on? Like if I'm reading this right, it sounds like Paul Pierce heard something that read either some secret society stuff or like demonic stuff. And he was like, you're such and such. And he's like, yeah, I am. And he's like, I speak your language. And they had a moment.
Yeah, it was a moment of recognition. Yeah, absolutely. That's what happened. He said,
water.
We speak the same language. Yeah.
And then the whole handshake, happened. Double handshake.
Mm-hmm. The get
to,
up.
It's good to meet you.
Initiation that wasn't moment.
A, it's good to meet you. Like, hey, what's going on? That's right.
I recognize
I know who
you
are now type
yes.
thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's creepy.
But then Paul
principalities.
Pierce,
but, that's creepy.
And it's crazy because wasn't Paul Pierce the one talking to Joy Taylor saying that he prays and he reads his word and stuff like that?
He said he was spiritual.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, same thing.
Right. No, it does not. Demons are spiritual.
That was odd. And I don't know if it's mental illness or that it just two
it's
demons
spiritual.
Recognizing
it's
each other.
It's spiritual.
It's definite. He
that
was
spiritual. Wild
but,
to
the, you know, he just said some crazy stuff anyway, though. Didn't he say he was from the tribe of Jesus? Didn't
tribe
he say,
of Jesus.
He talk about,
I mean, I'm tribe of Judah and
man,
Jesus' tribe.
Look at Kevin Gates, man. The eyes are the window to the soul. You look at this man's eyes, bro. And I, you know, I'm the last one to really be spooky and be, you know what I'm saying, you know, weird. But that man possessed by a demon, bro. He possessed by a demon. These people, some people think it's so obvious in your face that make it seem like it ain't real. This man possessed by a demon.
Yeah.
Paul Pierce is also under demonic influence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This man wearing shades at night. You know what I'm saying? Like these folks, they know. I know how you got here. I know how you got here too. I know we studied behind the scenes. We got handshakes, we got rituals, we got different things. I know. Like, what understood ain't got to be explained. You folks fooling with the devil. It ain't deep. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't got to dig. Like,
crazy.
The more confusing person, I've been to Kevin Gates, was weird. But, like, what was Paul Pierce? Like, that was the weird part of the conversation was Paul Pierce. Are you an angel? And then long pauses.
He smoked
pauses.
Good weed, too, even California.
Long pauses. He smoked good weed. I know who you are. And it's like, what is going on? What is going on? We've been doing the show for years and years. It feels like it's getting worse.
But that's what the scripture talked about. Yeah. At the end times, it's going to get worse. It's going to be like, they said at the end of times, it's going to be like how it was with Noah before the flood happened.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I agree that the word does talk about things getting worse. So I agree with that. But in some sense, perhaps we're just getting more access to
more
what's
cameras.
Been happening all along because that conversation could have happened you know what I mean with different people years ago, but it wasn't going to be on a podcast where you could see that, you know what I'm saying? Like, things have just become so casual and blatant to where it's like, why not put it online for people to see, you know?
They're not gonna believe it no way.
So I do, spiritual recognition. I think the fact that this man, he also used the word of God. So to me,
he
twisted it. Mm-hmm. So that gave you all the, like, all that ammunition up in there, told you who was leading, okay? My sheep know, and they respond. He told you. There's no need to doubt, okay? Christians, be prayerful.
So Kevin Gates says he's the angel of fear. God said he has not given us a spirit of fear.
Yes.
Amen.
So Kevin Gates, something is wrong if that's who you are.
Yeah.
Right.
You need to go get help.
But he's proud.
Ain't nothing wrong.
He's allowing himself to be a vessel.
The human being, Kevin Gates, go get help.
If you're inhabited by the spirit of fear, he need to go to church.
Go get help, please.
He thrives on bringing fear to people. Like, that's like who he is. Like, he likes to.
That's
here,
why LeBron
like,
and stepped to
him. LeBron, he stepped to Stephen A. You know what I'm saying? In. When the angel of fear was sitting courtside, you know what I'm saying? He run up on the angel of fear.
Because I also don't necessarily believe that spirit of fear means demon of fear. But something is wrong. I'm just hoping that, who cares? He's not going to listen.
Yeah.
Just stop listening to him.
Yeah.
But on the same vein though, what is going on with Larry Reed? I missed a couple episodes, but he went from gossipy commentator guy to Zulu Nation. is going on with him?
I'm gonna explain some stuff.
All right, let me get this clip right, because I have a lot of questions. Listen to Larry Reed here.
Diviners, divination, witchcraft. And all these things that are supposed to be wrong, you only can see that, but won't flip the page and then see the patriarchs and the prophets use divination, use witchcraft. The same Bible you're going to take me to show me how what I'm doing ain't right, I can take you to that same Bible and show you somebody doing it. That's what makes the Bible great and amazing, because though it's mystical and prophetic and historical in parts, there are other parts that are just complete lies have been put in there and borrowed from older religions. And I can dance with that and still love God, the Bible, the church, and grow in my Christ consciousness.
All of that in one sentence is
you
crazy.
You would understood in the canonization that King James, a.k.a. Queen James, who was terribly obsessed with witchcraft and demons, that wrote a huge book prior to the King James Version, that was some of his imposing and bleed over in the writing and the collection of the text. If tarot cards are wrong in the hand of a prophet, then so is that fleece that man of God laid out and said, okay, if you want me to do this, then make sure the dew is on the fleece. He woke up the next morning, dew on the fleece. Okay, this time I'm going to put the fleece out and I want the dew around the fleece. Then I know you want me to do X, Y, Z. And then the same thing. Ladies and gentlemen, that is divination 101. Plain and simple. But then you flip over in another text and say divination is wrong. But then you see the patriarchs using it and reading the leaf. You even see in the New Testament the prophets doing one of the most major divination acts. Somebody said it. Casting lots. That's correct. That's no different than doing the runes. Than you taking the bones and throwing them out in the motherland amongst the Ghanaians, the cowrie shells, and throwing them out, 12 of them, and reading somebody's future. It's just a tool of divination to know what the will and the mind of God is. Somebody said, Larry, are roots and voodoo real? They are nothing but spiritual practices and systems much older than Christianity. Christianity is just our path. Christianity is not the only right thing, and what we're doing is what's right and everybody wrong. See, that's elitism, and some of you believe like that. We are Christians. We are no different than the Buddhists.
Oh, no.
We're no different
than a Christian?
The Hindus. We're no different than those that practice Judaism. This is just our religion. This is our path. This is the way we relate to ourselves, understand, explain God. Prayer in Christianity would be divination, because it's a tool to know. Consulting a prophet would be an act of divination, because it is going to a tool to know.
All right. So, you know what? I'm glad this is happening. I'm glad this is happening, because Larry Reed, for a long time, I've been very confused by him, because he's been kind of like, before like podcasts got big, he was like the go-to person for a lot of people. Is what's going on in gospel and
Oh wow!
And not like going on and got like messy stuff.
Yeah. But still, he was still considered one of a gospel outlet.
Yeah.
And the turn that he's making to me is like, just be clear. I'm glad you're clear that this is what you're on, because to me at least it's least less confusing. It may be more confusing for some other people though. So. We need to talk about what he said, because like I said, devil's been busy. If you don't think we're at war spiritually, this is coming. We're not making this up. This is coming. These are people that years ago you couldn't tell the difference between him and who's like a gospel person on TV. There's not many anymore.
Said Bobby Jones. Probably the same.
All I'm saying is these guys that have been like, you know, people have been going to for instruction or keeping them company or whatever.
Yeah.
They're exposing themselves, or at least they've been turned, or some like him, I think, has always been like this. They're showing that this is what they really believe. This is what they have embraced. And there's so many wrong things. So I'm gonna let y'all go off in a second. There's so many wrong things he said that it should be obvious. Mm-hmm. But I'm starting to realize that we can't take anything for granted. What? address what this man said.
I think, and it goes back to who his following is, bro. Like, his following is, of course, in black gospel, so it's black people. So, and it's telling black people that your ancestors did it. This, you know what I mean? And here's the thing. We have a lot of, and it goes back, and I was so, like, kind of grieved about this topic because I was like, God, now we got to fight this African spirituality stuff. First, we had to fight black people.
We're losing already.
So now we had to go in there. And I'm like, Ryan Coogler, man, I'm praying for you, bro, because you got these people, like, jacked out, bro. Crazy. Like, every time he brings something out, it's like him and Kendrick go, like, tag team back again.
Beyonce.
And Beyonce, like, a triple threat. Like, I'm like, what is this about, bro? Like, and I think, to me, like, for him, though, I think he lost it when a lot of people were going against Carlton Pierce. I think Carlton Pierce was like a forefather to him. And if you don't know who Carlton Pierce is, he started off good and then he got to this theology that everybody go to heaven. I forgot what he was saying, but it was heresy. And once he died and he saw how the church was coming at him, I think he kind of like felt it very hard. And then also when he started talking about New Age stuff, it's because another person that he's attached to is Bishop Jordan. If you know who Bishop Jordan is, if y'all never heard him, remember the guy that was like, I think Jerry did a clip of the guy who was, people was giving him things and he was just saying
checks.
Yeah. And he was like, oh yeah, you got something in the mail. Da-da-da-da-da. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's a combination of all that together of stuff. Plus also, man, and I really believe this, gossip can really make your mind go to the extreme, kind of like what we're seeing with Wendy Williams and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So I think at the end of the day, man, it's just a combination of all that, and it's just a combination with the culture. That's why I was like, man, you either got to be a cultural Christian or biblical Christian.
Well, let me knock out some stuff real fast, just because we're running out of time. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets the Father but by me. That's clearly false. There's not multiple ways to God. There is only one. Yeah. It's not my fault. Don't call me elitist. Yeah. Call Jesus elitist. He's the one that said it.
Yeah.
All right. Number two, this confusion about, pastors did it and people in the Bible did it. That's the same thing as the divination that the Bible says to stay away from. No, this is very simple. There is God. God is the Spirit. God has people on his side. And there are people against him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The Bible says, do not try to reach out to anything beyond God through Jesus because you don't know who you're talking to. There are enemies of God.
Mm-hmm.
So the warning is, don't do that because their enemies are trying to trick you.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is just very simple. So you can't then say, well, they did it. No, he told you to do it that
they
way.
Were wrong too.
He told you to talk to him spiritually. Yeah. Don't talk to anyone else because you don't know who you're talking to. Don't even try to talk to angels because you don't know who's who.
Yeah.
You don't, you're not a detective. You know, you don't have the secret pass. You don't have the handshake. You know what I'm saying? So don't do it because it's dangerous. All right. So I'm not following his logic of, well, the Bible said don't do it, but then they did it. It's like, no, it tells you exactly what everything means.
Mm-hmm.
There are evil spirits and then there are good spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Don't talk to the evil ones. That's simple. Yeah. And if you think that your African ancestors or anybody else was right about anything that they said, then stop calling yourself a Christian.
Exactly.
It can't be both.
That part.
Yeah.
It can't be both.
It can't be both. Even the fact that you think that you're speaking to your ancestors is you're speaking to spirits because they are dead, baby. They're not talking to you. You're speaking to evil spirits. And then also, too, I wanted to comment on the fact that just because you see it in the Bible does not mean God affirms it. And then you talk about fleecing versus Samuel. What happened to Samuel? First of all, Samuel killed all of the diviners, all of those sorcerers, all those people, but there was one that got away, and he did that because he was supposed to. Saul. Yeah. There we go. I'm thinking because I'm coming to Samuel when he raised Samuel up. Thank you. But yes. So he ended up finding one that got away after he understood that it was wrong. That's why he killed all of them or whatever. And then once he met with that diviner girl and pulled and raised Samuel back up, baby, he lost the kingdom and died. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm not, just because it's there doesn't mean it's affirmed, baby.
Right.
What That's happened good. After? And then fleecing, you're talking to God, not to someone else. You're praying is not a spell, is not a divine going outside of God. You're literally praying to God. And in that, he was seeking, because God gave him a task that wasn't usually his, So he was like, Lord, I want to make sure this is what you want me to do. So please do this, this, that. I'm double checking. And it was an act of obedience so that he can earn, get that trust. Okay, Lord, you want me to do this? All right, I'm about to go in. So it was like, baby, whee.
So wait. So if your parents told you don't talk to strangers and you're like, that means I can't talk to you? No. But I see them talking to their parents. Their parents are not their strangers. This is very simple. Don't talk to strangers. Yeah. Just don't do it.
Literally.
Just because other people talk to strangers don't mean you do it. Just because you could talk to me, I'm not a stranger. Does that make sense?
Again, yeah. I hear you, Sean. But I think this goes back to, well, two things come to mind. Power is one. Because, you know, the point of like, what is it called? African spirituality. I think there is a seeking for validity of the power that is accessed through African spiritual traditions. So to me, it's like, okay, hey, we have all these things too. So they're valid because they're powerful in the spirit. And then it's like trying to say that all of it is acceptable. All of it is effective. All of it works. That's what I heard him saying when he was like, oh, when we did this over here, that's the same as this. He's trying to say that it works the same. It has the same level of power. What I would say to that is just because a thing appears to be the similar does not make it the same. Mm-hmm. Just because two things seem to be powerful does not mean that it comes from the same root. I don't even think that it's a matter of being right per se. And when I say that, this is what I mean. I can't remember the exact scripture, but there was a particular passage where it talks about a woman following Jesus declaring that he was the Son of God, and he cast out the spirit.
Oh, Paul.
Okay. The spirit was casted out. Okay. Mm-hmm. But nothing that was said was incorrect.
Right.
They were actually giving correct information.
Right.
So I think that we are it's easy to confuse whether or not what is said is correct or not. It's possible for people to be operating from the wrong spirit and have correct information. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's an important distinction to make, because people can experience power through these other entities. They might be getting information that is correct, mm-hmm. but is it from the right spirit? Mm-hmm. So
but also,
that's my piece on that.
I was just thinking about this, and somebody said it, and I was going to say it. Think about Moses and the magicians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Clear as day, yeah, of what the Holy Spirit was
good,
doing, yeah, through Moses, mm-hmm, versus what entities, demonic entities, right, was doing through, right, the Egyptians' magicians.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like that's scripturally of what you've seen. You know what
Sounds
I'm saying?
Like he was saying that King James was added gay stuff, yeah, in there to make tribal religion seem demonic to boost up his, mm-hmm, thing. That's what he's alleging.
Man, what you see is going on is a divide.
And Christian Smith believed that too.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go just straight to the book. Matthew 24, verse 24, mm-hmm, and 25. And it's a lot more you can read before and after. It's a pretty familiar passage of scripture. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. Mm-hmm. See, I have warned you about this ahead of time. So what Jeremiah was just saying, what you guys have just been saying, like horoscopes, you can go to the horoscope and you say, I'm an Aries or I'm a this, this, and that. And it seems like the information is adding up. There are demons watching you. They know what's going on. They can give you the right information, but it's, mm-hmm, coming from the wrong source. And what you're seeing now, so many people who, quote unquote, like a Larry Reed or whoever, who claim to be Christian, who claim to walk with the Lord, soon as something else came along that made them feel like they can have more power within, mm-hmm, themselves in order to operate in a level that nobody else can operate, or at a level where I can start dressing weird online and start using a whole bunch of big words, like they gravitated toward that. Because the issue is not this. The issue is I don't want to submit. I'm tired of submitting to God. God isn't moving fast enough. God isn't giving me what I want when I want it. He's not giving me my desires, because, mm-hmm, when he said desires of your heart, he's going to give it to you. That means, yeah, your desires line up with his desires. You don't just say, hey, I want this, I want that. He's just a genie in the sky to give you whatever you want.
Right.
And people are getting irritated. They're not getting the answers they want when they want them. And instead of humbling themselves before God and understanding he's wiser than us, his thoughts are not our thoughts, his ways are not our ways, they're seeking alternative sources to get answers. And when they get the answers from those things, they gain confidence in that, because it responded faster to God in them in their eyes. And then they're wise enough to know, I don't really want to go against God, because I have seen him really just, you know what I'm saying, do some things. So I'm going to try to intertwine this foolishness with God, hoping he'll be okay with it. Mm-hmm. And God is not okay with it. Like, it's false doctrine. It's false practice. These are not things that Christians do. So yeah. Right here in the script, he just said, I warned you about these things ahead of time. And unfortunately, it's going to get worse.
If you deny his son, he will deny you. His son said, I am the way. It's not us. Yeah. He said that. So if you're saying he's a liar, then God will kick you. Like, I mean, it's plain as day.
I came across this during study this week. Deuteronomy 18:10. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts out spells, or who is a medium or a spiritualist, or who consults the dead. Like, all of that is there. And so to think that you can take words from the Bible and flip it and make it evil, man, that's what I think people are really in trouble with. You know what I mean? Like, you can hear it one way and interpret it another way, and it's just dangerous if you don't know.
Think about it. Somebody was saying the same thing I was thinking. Is it required for me to not have to wear these hats and these beads and these, all these, you know what I'm saying? It's like, all of a sudden, I have a new level of spirituality. I got to start dressing a certain kind of way and start acting like, it's about them. Like, the focus is on me. Look at how I'm dressed. Look at me. Look at the powerful. Mm-hmm. Look how much power I have now. I'm Yoruba spiritual and all this kind of stuff. Now, like, people are engaged in idolatry, don't even realize it. And they're trying to put God in there with it. God ain't got nothing to do with that.
Right.
He don't want that outfit you bought down on Edgewood. He don't care about that. Yeah, he don't care about that. He just like, is your heart, like, are you intimate? Like, all these things people doing, like he said, you did this in my name, you did that in my name. He's like, I never knew you. I was never intimate with you. I was never in relationship with you.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody this week. They were trying to tell me about Judas. He was like, well, Judas was on the right. Judas was never on the right path. Judas was a thief from the beginning.
Yeah.
And how you know Judas wasn't a part? When they did communion, they put Judas out before the bread and the wine was taken. He was never on the right path. He said, go do what you must do quickly. He was stealing the whole time. God has always made a separation between his people and his foolishness. And what you're seeing right now is a divide. Because when you saw Peter denied him three times, but Peter got grace because Peter was with him. Judas was never with him. Judas had his own agenda the whole time, and that's why he ain't make it. Yeah. So what you're seeing is people who have their own agenda for following Christ, they're starting to get exposed. You're starting to see where their heart really is. Their heart is not about God. It's not about Jesus. It's about themselves and how they can be seen powerful. How can I blow my show up? How can I blow my ministry up? How can I do this for me? And now they're getting exposed. And we're looking like, dang, him? Because people can't perform for a long time.
Yeah.
See, only God know the heart of man. Folks perform for a long time, and we think that performance is legitimate. Yeah. Sometimes we think it's fruit, but really it's just a performance. Yeah. And now when the rubber hits the road, like, even the very elect would be deceived if they were possible.
Yeah.
If folks are being deceived, guess who they ain't? And we got to face the reality this is what's going on. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I think also, too, what's dangerous is, it's not just capturing black people, it's capturing LGBT people too. It's capturing them to be like, yo, you don't have to change. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to die to yourself. You can be, God loves you the way you are. And then I guess the other question is, does African spirituality, and I think that's why so many people are practicing African spirituality, because the freedom that, quote unquote, the freedom of I'm myself. Mm-hmm. I don't have to change, you know, Christianity, Islam, all these religions say,
God is distant. He made the world. He handed it over to other things.
Yeah.
It's not important that he doesn't see me. Yeah. He doesn't care what I do.
And then also another thing, too, even though he was hinting at this, even if King James was gay, like you're saying he was. So even if he was, that doesn't degrade what the word of God is saying. The word of God was way before King James.
Yeah, and it has no bearing on the Bible. Translations that have come after that went before King James. They didn't copy his book.
Yeah,
right.
They went back to the original manuscript.
And he didn't even write. Like, the Ecumenical Council that he was
ordered
in.
It.
Yeah, he ordered it. Like, you had Bible scholars in there. Like, if you want to be talk about black folk, we had Tertullian in this mug. We had Athanasius in this mug. We had like African scholars in there discussing the scripture. It wasn't some gay man sitting on the throne and said, hey, put that in there. Let's do that. It wasn't that. He didn't have nothing to do with it. He was just the king at the time, so it was the King James version. If Jeremiah was king, it'd be the King Jeremiah version. That's all it was. Like, he wasn't the one writing that junk.
Right, because if that even made sense, then he would have, being that he was gay, would have taken out the sexual immorality and stuff in the same verse.
Right.
Right.
So it was like, if he had his hand in that deep, that doesn't even make sense. But let me remember now. So Oh, no. Okay. So self-deception, because I had two things. Self-deception is definitely one thing. So my heart goes out to people that are really trying to seek God. Because, like, with that, if you're filled with pride and self-deception and trauma and all these different things, it can cloud it and make it hard for you to see truth. So my prayer would be, as you're seeking God, because the word, it says, what Jesus said, if you knew my Father, then you would know me. You would recognize me. Mm-hmm. So it's like my prayers for everyone who is literally seeking truth and literally seeking God, that you're seeking the real God and the God of the Bible, because it will affirm that Jesus is God and he is the one and true only way. And then another thing I was thinking about as well, going back to Genesis with Adam. After that podcast, I did a word study. When he looked at Adam, it said that Adam is good. And when I looked up the word for good, it had a bunch of different definitions, but the one that struck me in the spirit was pure. And it was like, when God was saying that he made him, he was good, he was pure. But mind you, that was pre-fall. So it was like, you're good like me. You are good. And then we allowed Satan to lie to us and make us feel like we weren't. So now we fail, and now we're impure. So it's like, with that impurity, why our good works are dirty rags? Because there's nothing that we can do that is pure. God is good. God is pure. So there's nothing that we can do that is pure that does not involve some type of self-interest. So it's like, even in your best works, you're trying to seek out God. You're still trying to affirm yourself in some way. You're still trying to validate yourself in some way. You're still trying to promote your ego in some way. That's why it's just like, my prayer is definitely that you're seeking God purely just for God, just to purely understand the truth. And that I pray that the spirit of self-deception, deception, pride, and all the rest of that just literally melts away as you're seeking God.
Yeah. And to piggyback on that, I feel like a lot of the desire for, you know, leaning into African spirituality and to just these different religions or whatever has to do with not wanting to be ostracized, not wanting to feel like you're on the outside, you're rejected, you're the black sheep. Ultimately, like, Jesus includes, he calls like us in. And even before Jesus gets on the scene, there are stories where God is bringing in Gentiles into the fold. And so I think just understanding that God is not an excluder. He is not someone who discriminates. He wants you. And you goes beyond your affiliation to an idea or an identity or what, like the entirety of your being, like your triune full self, you know? So I think that that's why this message has such a grip, because people are feeling like they have to deny themselves as if it means I have to abandon myself. But that's not what Jesus is calling for us to do. He's asking for us to die to sin so that we can have access to him, to grace, to purity, you know? So that is the call. Not I'm calling you to die to who I've called you to be. Mm-hmm. I'm calling you to die to sin. Those are two different things. And you can be fully yourself, and you come into knowing who you fully are in God. Mm-hmm. You cannot come into fully knowing who you are outside of God. You might think you have some understanding, but it's not possible without the one who made you.
Amen. Yeah, okay. So, so again, I told you there were some interesting things today. We're not going to be able to get to everything because I got a long drive ahead of me to get to Ryan's daughter's thing. But we are going to do some bonuses. So if you go to patreon.com/trackstaruniverse, thank you to everybody who's been signing up on Patreon. We have some good ideas. I know Shania has some ideas that you didn't get to talk about because you were late to the thing. But we're going to try and pack that thing with so much value. There's a lot going on here. There's people starting things, and I'm going to let them say when they feel time be. But there's a lot of cool stuff coming out of this room, and I'm really proud of everybody. But go over to Patreon. Hang out with us there, patreon.com/trackstarsuniverse. We are going to be talking about the K-Dub situation, the All Things Theology guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have been seeing that, where there's a show kind of like ours where he deals with topics of theology, and apparently something happened. If you want to find out more about that, it's again, the reason why we're not doing it on here, because it's not, the point is not to sensationalize that or try and, you know, put that out there all throughout the world. But we, there are some things that I do want to address about his situation with family. So come to Patreon and hang out with us there. But yeah, thank you guys. Thank you guys. You guys did awesome today. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. I saw where everybody was from. Thank you guys for joining us. Share it, man. I think this live is growing. I love seeing you guys' comments. We got a lot of cool stuff on the way, so please lock in with us. Subscribe if you haven't subscribed yet. Like the video if you haven't done it yet. But please go join us over at Patreon. You're in the field with the Track Stars. Ryan Righteous, Sean Tanner, DJ Jeremiah. Let go.